Brother George brought that to our attention this week. And as I viewed that, man, the Lord laid it in my heart. Where is the line for Jesus? That line is anywhere that you're at. People don't know that. When you're in line, I don't care where you're at, man, you represent Jesus Christ. Christ lives in you. And what come to my mind, maybe a line at one of the department stores, there's a lady in front of you, man, she's trying her best to get things done, and she's got two kids, and they're going, you know, kids can be in the line and stuff. Man, you need to show Jesus to her. You know, a comforting word, you know. Oh, I'm sorry I'm taking so long, my kids. Oh, no, that's okay. You know, John, you're going down for chemo. You're Jesus. In there, you're going to meet somebody. Somebody. And all that God's bringing you through, He's going to use your hands and your voice. And you're going to pray with somebody down there. Thunderbolts ain't coming down. You're just going to speak to Him. Let me pray with you. That line, people don't know it, but wherever they're at, they're in line for Jesus. And you're there with them. I mean, isn't that awesome? It's just being yourself with Christ wherever you go. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves before we step into different places. We know it can be very hectic. Oh, Lord, you're now going in here today. Let me represent you. Give me your eyes. And He'll give you eyes to see the needs of the people around you. And I'm telling you, I truly believe the more that we're in devastation ourselves, He uses that to reach out to someone else because we have a heart for that person going through that. And God will touch them, but also He touches us. He said, man, whatever you're going to sow, I'll make sure you reap it. As we sow, as we give to others, man. So just, Brother George, thank you for bringing that video to my attention. I think it's just awesome, you know. It's just, well, I loved about it. It wasn't a condemning a song at all, you know. It wasn't saying, hey, knocking the giving of gifts. It's saying, hey, where's the line for Jesus? And man, that's awesome that you guys represent Him to wherever you go. And so just be encouraged. Who lives in you? I'm going to bring the lights up, okay? If I leave them off too long, I won't have much of your attention here in a minute. But it's God's peace that He offers us. And that peace comes through His, comes through Him and through His Word. And I just want to show a couple of demonstrations today how that peace can really resonate in our lives because God never changes. And as He has from the very beginning, He is still the same way today. And I'm going to start out in the book of Daniel today. If you want to turn to the 6th chapter of Daniel, you're welcome to. Or if you just want to mark it down and read it when you get home. But Daniel is one of our warriors of faith, I believe. I can say it that way. And we want to talk about God's peace. I mean, Daniel was his life was committed to God. He believed in the Lord, and he didn't want to compromise. In fact, a time came where the enemy took Daniel captive, him and his buddies, and they were being trained in the enemy's camp to be a servant to the king. And the king was going to feed these guys all the good food off the table. You know, all the stuff that they weren't supposed to eat. He wanted to feed them. And what Daniel said, I mean, can you imagine? Somebody offered you prime rib and you turned it down. Said, no, I'm not going to eat that stuff because it's been sacrificed to you know, you just sacrificed to false gods. So Daniel got permission not to eat the food the king wanted to give his slaves. And for 10 days, they ate what we call nowadays the Daniel fast. He ate nothing but good stuff. fruit, huh? Yeah, fruits and vegetables, okay? And in a 10-day period of time, Daniel and his friends was healthier than those who were eating of the king's table. And so, by them taking a stance, they showed how powerful their God was, okay? So, I'm just giving you the background. That's Daniel. Walking with God, never compromising anything. And as he walked with God throughout his life, his faith in God grew and grew and grew. Same as your faith and my faith. And we continue to walk with the Lord and listen to His Word, be obedient. Our faith is growing. And we never want to get to the point where, well, I got enough faith, okay? We never want to get to a point in our life of saying, hey, listen, my name's written in Lamb's Book of Life. I'm okay. And relax. No, because, man, we made it through the day. Everyone here made it through yesterday, right? Hi, Tater. Made it through yesterday, right? What's going to happen tomorrow? Do we know? Don't know. So I'm going to make sure I'm strong for tomorrow and the next day and the next day. How'd you get through yesterday? Because of faith that you had the day before. Amen? It might have been a struggle with some of us. It might have been all you could do to get through one more day. But you made it through. God brought you through. And He ain't done with you yet. He just building you up, man. Because I'm telling you what, we talked about a couple weeks ago about the race that we are running. Man, you haven't got to the finish line yet, but you're going to go across that finish line. You're going to be triumphant. You're going to be strong. And you're going to be a conqueror of all that comes against you. So that's Daniel growing up, facing the Lord, believing in the Lord. And now we're going to find him in chapter 6, verse 1. It says, seems good to Darius to appoint 120, or the ruler, to appoint 120 satraps, which is also be governors, over his kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. Awesome. This guy, a slave, had been brought up through the ranks by his enemy, and now he's been appointed a commissioner in the land, because this guy, even though they had different gods, he saw the true God living in Daniel. And Daniel was so blessed that he could have been in the Molly Grubs. Understand that? He could be in a position he didn't want to be in and said, man, what kind of God is this? How can I serve you here? But he had decided early on that I'm going to serve my God no matter where I'm at. No matter what my circumstances are, my God, I shall serve and honor. I'm never going to compromise. And even though he might still be in the enemy's camp, man, he is right up to the top. God is using him. He's finding favor of God even in the middle of his enemy's camp. And man, that's where we want to be at, right? Because we want to represent God wherever we go. Just like that song, man, where's the line to be to see Jesus? Anybody around you? Mm-hmm. You know, where's the line to see Jesus? Well, right around Daniel. Amen? Amen. I'll preach myself happy here in a second. Mm-mm. I heard that rattle. that these governors might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began disguising himself among the commissioners and satraps because he possessed distinguishing, not disguising, I'm sorry. Then Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and governors because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Wow! Now listen, we're talking about 123 at least, and the king's getting ready to bring him up and make him in charge of everything. So I mean, there's probably 122 people not very happy, right? I don't matter having a party. Hey, Daniel, the slave guy's going to get on top of us. Yes, he'll be in charge of us. No. No. Then the commissioners and the governors began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusations or evidence of corruption. Wow. Isn't that awesome? They tried and tried. Kind of mind you of Jesus, right? They tried to find a reason to crucify Christ, and they couldn't find one, so they had to make something up. And Daniel was living his life in such a way they cannot find any fault with his life. And folks, that's how I want to live my life. I want to live my life in such a way that people look at me and they won't be able to find a fault against me according to the Lord. Amen? Amen. And as much as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in it, he never lied, cheated, stole. What he said was true. Man, now listen, this God that he's serving is the same God that we call today Abba. This is the same God that do the same for you and I. And we give him commitment like Daniel has. Amen? Just think of that. If we will commit ourselves to Jehovah, man, we can guarantee, no matter what our enemy is doing to us, that we'll still be elevated because of our God. Amen? Yes. Amen. Now, these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Wow. Now, what is the law of our God? To put it in a nutshell, is this. Honor the law of the land unless it becomes in conflict of God's law. So long as the government of this land passes laws that's not in contrary of God, then we obey it. So that means tomorrow they pass a law that 40% of your income is now taxes. We pay the 40%. Well, man, that's a lot of money. Yeah, but our God says to do that. And our money is God's anyway, amen? So we don't grumble about it. You know, sometimes we get conversation going about taxes, you know. I'll just stir people up once in a while, you know. And, well, I hate paying taxes. People tell me, I don't. They're looking at me like, what? I said, no. I like my sheriff's department. I like my EMS. I like my fire department. I like driving on paved roads. You know, I like, that's my tax money, okay? I just pray for those in charge of it to use it wisely. So, if we're complaining about taxes, my next question, are you praying for those overseeing it? Okay? So anyway, that's what we're looking at here. If it's the law of the land, obey. But when it's in conflict, God says, stand for Him. Stand for Him. Don't cave in. We can't have an attitude that, well, I don't think I'll say nothing. No. When our law becomes, and we start authorizing things that God calls murder or abomination, then we can't compromise that. We don't want to. Amen? No matter how unpopular it is. And yes, there might be people that want to come up against you, but our God, when they come against you for the things of God, they're coming against God and not you. And He tells us, hey man, listen, don't, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You just watch out. I'll protect you. I'll defend you. Remember, they're trying to find out now something to do with Daniel's God. In verse 6, it says, and these commissioners and satraps, or governors, came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and high officials and governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, what they're playing on is his ego. Okay? What's the best way to get somebody to do what you want? Ego. Yeah, I think, and sometimes we call it, give them a snow job, we call it anymore, you know. Pump their heads up, you know. I mean, you know, if you're raising kids, they come to you, oh, Dad, you're looking young today. Oh, man, you losing weight, are you? Yeah. I know to get my wallet out because they're getting ready to ask for some back in the day. The opposite, now I borrow money off of him, but... And so they're putting the king, man, we're going to make this law that if they don't bow down to you, man, they got consequences. Well, yes, that sounds good to me. Bow down. Wow. Satan knows what buttons to push. He still knows the buttons. What is it that you, what door can Satan open to get to you? Is it still pride? Or it might be. He knows what it is. So you come to the king. And ask him this. O king, for 3 days, make this a law, and whoever violates it, they be cast into the lion's den. And the king replied, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king. Now, what has happened? It became law. He has taken his ring, sealed it, and he even himself, he cannot change that law. Wow. So after he did this, they come to him and say, now, then they answered and spoke before the king. Daniel, who is one of the exiles, or one of the slaves from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you sign, but keeps making his petition three times a day. Wow. Now, this is Daniel, remember? This is the guy who the king is ready to promote in charge of everybody. Because this guy has an awesome spirit of God on him. Whatever he touches is blessed. And the king has passed a law, if someone doesn't bow down to me, if they worship other gods, they'll be thrown in the lion's den. It says in verse 14, and as soon as the king heard the statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Otherwise, you say, hey, it's signed, no matter what you're doing, you cannot change it. You cannot change it, king. So in verse 16, here's the king now. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. Because remember, he saw Daniel three times a day. He took time out of his day and he prayed to God. This king knew that Daniel's God was blessing him. This king knew that he was finding favor, even though he did not worship this God, through Daniel because of his God. He had a special place in the king's heart. And he's seen the thing that Daniel's done over the years. And the king again said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. So he's placed in the lion's den, and a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring, and with the signet rings of his nobles. So nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Wow. Now he was fasting. Now I would imagine he had seen Daniel fast in the past. I think he was trying to figure out some way. He don't know this God. But he saw Daniel worship this God, Jehovah. And he was intimating. Help me out here. Man. Mimicking him. Just trying to do what he knew what to do. But he didn't know, this king did not know that Daniel already had favor before he even put him in the lion's den. Well, the night went through. Then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king and said, O king, live forever. My God sent his angels and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. And as much as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you. O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he had trusted in God. Now, in the name of Jesus, this voice of mine will last. I bind the enemy right now from trying to take the words out of my mouth from God. The enemy had made it where Daniel was going into the den. Understand what I said? The enemy has made it where Daniel was going to the, and that was a law, thrown in the lion's den. The law did not say until the Daniel be thrown into the, or into the lion's den until he was devoured. No. It was common knowledge that if you got thrown into the lion's den, it's going to rip you apart. But that wasn't part of the law.
Right.
And he was delivered out of the lion's den.
Amen.
Think of that. What was supposed to kill him only strengthened him.
Amen.
What the enemy was trying to do to destroy Daniel and the work of God on his life and the testimony in his mouth, God used that for his glory. Think of that. I don't know where you're at today. If you're in the middle of the arms of the enemy right now and he's trying to suffocate you and choke you out, I'm telling you what, keep your eyes on the Lord and he shall deliver you. What seemed to be impossible to you today, that man, I'm checking out. No. This same God that Daniel trusts in is a God that you serve because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have the same expectations as we give God ownership of our lives. Now, Daniel wasn't part-time of God. He was full-time of God. He committed himself to the Lord. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. Because, man, I had no life myself outside of you. So God used him powerfully. And we can expect the same thing as we sell out to God, as God is our center of our universe, as God is the governor of our mouth, of our voice, of everything that we are. We expect the same thing when the enemy comes our way. God be the honor. You don't see it all in the scriptures. I don't know. I never checked any historic records from back then, but I don't see at all where Daniel begged for his life. Because what does God say? If the law of the land is conflict of my law, rebel against it. But if it isn't, obey it. And there was Daniel. And Daniel said, my God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. And I can see him walking Daniel to the lion's den. This is my mind, okay? Maybe you see something different. And I can see these guys who set him up. This enemy of them that was going to try to destroy Daniel. I can see him say, hey man, chomp chomp. Yeah, I think now there's a song out there, Gator's Got Your Granny, chomp chomp. Remember that song back in the 60s? Maybe you don't. But I can see them imitating, making fun of Daniel. Yeah, you thought you were going to be ahead of us, huh? Yeah, you're going to die, man. You're going to die. You'll be ripped apart. And there's Daniel. And my God has never failed me. He never forsaken me. He never left me. My life is in his hands. If he chooses, if this is the day I enter his kingdom, then so be it. If he chooses to raise me up, so be it. I'm not my own. I follow God. That peace, and folks, that's the peace that we're talking about today, that we're celebrating. The man, as we learn to give more and more to God, I mean, we want to learn to give everything to God. Understand? Surrender everything to him. And when we know that we are lining up with his word, and we're doing what he says, that we want to do what he says, that we love him, we have the confidence that, man, nothing will come into my life and take me out without going through the hands of God first. And God has a way of taking the things of the enemy and turn them around and destroy the enemy with it. We're going to see that next. The next verse here. In verse 23, then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den And no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted God. Not one, no injury at all. I mean, he's in the flesh. You know, I trust God, but can you imagine being that lion's den? I mean, and the angel of the Lord just closed the mouth. This roaring lion turns out to be a kitty cat in the hands of God. And that's what he does to our enemy. Then, the king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. They had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. See, right there, it's documented there. Some people might try to tell you, well, the lions were vegetarians. That's why they didn't eat Daniel, okay? The enemy will continue to lie to you, okay? I'm telling you, there they are. They were hungry. They were starving. And they did not even get to the bottom of the pit, and they were destroyed. But look what it says. These are people who went against God. By doing so, it wiped out their whole family. This malice and this jealousy, this pride, whatever it was, it raised up inside of these folks to try to destroy the hand of God that was on Daniel. It came back and not just cost them their own life, but the life of their whole entire family. And folks, that's what sin will continue to do in our life. It doesn't come after us, it comes after the whole family. So look at yourself today. Look what awesome thing God has done in your life through the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, He has taken your sin, Dad, and He paid it off. No longer is it allowed to travel through your bloodline now. Think of that. If nothing else ever occurs in your life, look what the blood of Jesus has done. Man, that is awesome. He paid the ransom, He paid the penalty. And God turns these things around and use them against the enemy. Look what the enemy used the cross for. And God turned it around because of that cross. You have salvation today. You have a hope for the day. And you have a peace. And folks, I want to encourage you today. If you're facing that lion's den today, man, trust in the Lord. Trust God. He's never failed you. You might not know how tomorrow's going to turn out, but we know God's already watching over it. And we know I cannot do any better for my life than what God already has planned for my life, right? You know, I try once in a while, even today, not today, but even as following the Lord, sometimes we think, I got a better idea of what God does. But we find out, that was wrong, right? Daryl? If we try, just trust in God with all you have. And let His peace rest upon you. And what He's done to Daniel, He delivered Daniel. He'll do the same for you. And then in verse 25, and Darius, the king, wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land. So may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. Now, one thing I see there where the king has made a decree that you will tremble, but he'll have made that decree. Because they will tremble. They will tremble when they line up with the God of Jehovah. But he said, you don't tremble when you see them. For He is a living God, enduring forever, and His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and His dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. For this Daniel enjoys success in the region of Darius and in the region of Cyrus and Persia. Cyrus and Persia. Wow. Daniel could have been brought home from the lion's den. But he said, oh, no. You were brought here but for bigger things. Amen. To have Jehovah declared by a king. And remember the king? He was a prideful one. Remember, he's the one that wanted everybody to bow down to him. And you can't worship any other god. Look how God changed his life. And folks, he's still changing our life that way. And the lies that you encounter, maybe even this week. Remember, where is the line to see Jesus? Right where you're at. And people don't know they're even lying to see him. They just know they need something in their life, and what they're trying to find, this happiness they've been reaching for, they haven't found it because they haven't gotten the right line. So, Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, he is awesome. He lives in you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I know Daniel might be a kind of different turn on an Advent story, but I saw you. To see that piece that he would have in there, I just want to share that with you today. God laid it upon my heart. Amen? Amen.